Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
He cares about the Iowa State game. He really does.
I got it. Fine. Let me have it. I got it. Fine. Let me have it. I got it.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of Eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry. Nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Guess I haven't jumped up and died. I don't know. Maybe I do some jumping jacks or something like that. Be a little bit more demonstrative out there. When you win, what you do is great. When you lose, not so great.
And that sums it up in a nutshell. Welcome in the Todd Brommelkamp Show for a Wednesday, September 6th, and a great show on tap for you today, a packed show. We've got Gary Rima, the voice of the new UNI Panthers, set to join us. You'll hear from him at the bottom of the hour. UNI taking a step back from losing to Iowa State in week one. They play Cal Poly out of San Luis Obispo this weekend. That game is in Cedar Falls. We'll have it, I believe, a 4 o'clock kickoff on KGYM. Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette will be on the program at 5 o'clock tonight. The Cedar Rapids Colonels kicking off the Midwest League postseason at home tonight, 6:35 first pitch against the Kane County Cougars. And it is Wednesday, and that means fantasy football season is underway. Tristan Cockcroft is here. This is week number 3 for Tristan, and it's the first week that I've been here to chat with Tristan. I've been on vacation I've had days off. As you know, I don't like to call it vacation when I'm not going anywhere and not doing anything overly fun. I've had the last 2 days Tristan has appeared on the show off, so I'm looking forward to chatting with him and giving him a hard time because I followed some advice of his, and then after the fact I realized, wait a minute, it may have just been Tristan being a homer, because he picked a player from his favorite team to be a breakout player this year, and I thought, I fell for it. 319-366-1600, that's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Also, and I know there are a couple people out there, big fans of this, no, not the 6 o'clock showdown, I'll tell you about that coming up in a little bit. 3530 on the text line is one of them. We did, at the end of the APC, a segment where Tyler and I drafted guests that were on the program throughout the course of the previous afternoon show here. And then afterwards, we had Mel Kuhn Jr. stop by the studio and break down the guest draft. And it actually got positive feedback. People thought that it was sort of funny. And so the best way to ruin something that people think is sort of funny is to bring it back and do it again. Last night, we got together with 9 of our listeners, and which constitutes about 75% of the people who listen to this show. So it was very it's one of those, it's like the State of the Union where they hold back one cabinet member just in case anything terrible happens. We held back one of our listeners last night. I kid. We got together, we did the KGYM Listener Fantasy Draft, which is sponsored by Imon Communications, and we did it at Brick Alley, a pub and sports bar in Marion, which is right there on the main drag. And, man, it was fun. And
it really
we had
was.
A good time. There was a little bit of a hiccup with Yahoo is terrible draft software. Not a fan. But the atmosphere there, it was fantastic. Les, the owner, did a wonderful job. Very hospitable. Z102.9 is going to be there tonight with a ladies football 101. So, guys, I'm just saying. No, they're probably all married. I don't know. But I don't want to get anybody into trouble here or anything. But this room that we were in had this 180-foot projector TV, 180-inch projector.
I mean, it was bigger than our studio.
And I was like, this would be a really cool place to watch a game. And it's available for game watches. I think he said they've got it rented out for the Iowa State game this weekend. But it was a great place. A big thank you to our friends at Chick-fil-A, Lindale, who provided dinner for everybody last night, sandwiches. We had some snacks and chips that we brought from the station. Mel Kuhn Jr. will be along later on in the program in the 6 o'clock hour to break down some of the highlights from last night's draft. Can we just... This is like Drug Dealer 101 here. Can we give people their first taste for free to see if we can entice them to stick around for the 6 o'clock hour? So without any further ado, do we have any dramatic? We'll get the dramatic music for Mel Kuhn Jr.'s appearance during the 6 o'clock hour, but let's do this cold. Let's go Mel Kuhn Jr. Give me a highlight from the 12th round of the draft last night.
I'll tell you what, in the 12th round of the draft, one of the best picks came from Matt. Steven Goskowski. Todd had said before the draft, we are not taking any Memphis players, but there was a guy right there with a high motor and the ability to kick the ball from 60 to 65 yards out. A phenomenal pick, the first kicker off the board, and a really, really solid steal for Team Matt with the third pick in the 12th round.
There's a guy. There's a guy right there.
There's a guy. You talk about a guy.
Mel Kuhn Jr.
That was cold.
It was cold. Mel Kuhn Jr. was not expected to be in the studio until after 6 o'clock tonight.
He's still in Bristol, I think.
We just brought him out, put him on the air, nailed it. 319-366-1600. That's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Boy, this Iowa State thing. Why can't we have this every week? I know there are people out there that don't want Iowa State on Iowa's schedule anymore. Iowa should just leave the Big Ten, go independent, and try to schedule Iowa State 12 games a year. Because in this business, it makes going to work really easy. I mean, come on. What's next week going to be like? You got to sit back and talk about North Texas when somebody other than Dan McCarney is the head coach and there's absolutely no reason to care about that game. I used to not really like this week. And now that I'm in this business, I embrace it for what it is, which is low-level, low-hanging fruit. Just let each fan base pummel back at each. I don't know if you saw this or not last night, but George Niang and Peter Jock were going back and forth on Twitter, talking trash to one another. And I think it started with Peter Jock posting something about Iowa being the Hawkeye State. And then Niang took exception to it and threw a jab with regard to how many 20-point leads did you blow? How many games did you win against Iowa State? Things of that nature. And then there were jabs, allegations back and forth about poking people in the eyes. And it just, no other game gets that type of engagement where you've got two of the best players in recent memory from each side on the basketball court, and they're arguing about the football game. Which, by the way, this is a football game being played Saturday in Ames. So what's happened between Iowa and Iowa State on the basketball court, on the tiddlywinks board, cornhole tournament, who cares? Football results.
Wasn't there a lawnmower race last week on the Ocho?
Football results are the only thing that matter here. So if you want to play the yeah, but what about game, that's fine. I understand where people are coming from because Iowa State's basketball program has been in better shape than Iowa's in that series recently. This is a football game. Kirk Ferentz, whether it's accurate or not, there's this perception that he doesn't put an emphasis on this game on Saturday. That couldn't be further from the truth. It's an important game. It's not more important than the next game on the schedule for Iowa, which is North Texas, which I just rained on for 15 seconds. That's Kirk Ferentz's approach. It's an NFL-style approach to things in that what ultimately matters are wins. Are they worried about... They want to keep all the trophies. They want to win all the trophy games. But are they worried about keeping Floyd of Rosedale right now? No. Are they worried about North Texas right now? No, they're worried about the next game on their schedule, which is Iowa State. So this week, starting Sunday night, the Iowa State game became the most important game on Iowa's schedule. But this idea that Kirk Ferentz, and you heard the sarcasm in his voice, I don't know, maybe I should do some jumping jacks on the sideline, which, by the way, I've said this before, that's a little bit of the Bill Belichick coming through there. Kirk Ferentz was his own man before he went and worked for Belichick in Cleveland and then Baltimore. But there's a little bit of that acerbic personality coming out there. Just because he's not jumping up and down on the sidelines or all that animated doesn't mean that he doesn't care. But you'll have a section of the fan base that, well, he's 9-9 in 18 years against Iowa State. Okay, Iowa State's had some decent teams in the last 18 years. They've had some teams where Iowa was probably better on paper than Iowa State, but that's why they don't play games on paper. How many are we keeping track? How many cliches can I spout here in the first 10 minutes of the program talking about this? But I just, and then you just sit back and you watch everybody just, some people like to watch the world burn, right? That's sort of me. Watching this, Kirk last night at the draft says, "I like you because you're not a homer," and I bet people are out there listening. Oh God, he's carrying Ferentz's water for him. I bet he chews his gum for him too. I'm with Kirk. We've got the clip, and I'll see if Alex can get it back off the. It's the same one that we played during the open, but it's a little bit longer version. Where Kirk Ferentz is talking about, look, this is sort of insulting to anybody who is a player, who's a coach, who anybody who is involved in a game where the object is to either win or lose. It's sort of a jerk move to say that they don't care about the outcome.
I kind of found it insulting in some ways. You know, it's almost like you don't care or... I mean, that's really insulting to say to anybody that competes in anything, I guess I haven't jumped up and died. I don't know. Maybe I got to do some jumping jacks or something like that. Be a little bit more demonstrative out there. When you win, what you do is great. When you lose, not so great. So, yeah, I think it's just kind of part of that narrative.
And that's where it comes. Some of it comes from Iowa fans. It's not just Iowa State fans. They're used to Hayden Fry winning 15 games in a row in this series in the 80s and the early portion of the 90s. Times have changed. And this is not 1989, 1990 anymore. You're not going to go out and beat Iowa State 63-10 all that often. Although this is where the text line reminds me that it was 42-3 last year. I get that. But that was a new, as Kirk pointed out on yesterday's news conference, that was a new coaching staff in its second week trying to figure out what they had there. And if you look at Iowa State in October, they were much better than they were in the second week of the season. I think we're in for a good game on Saturday, and I've really got to think about how I'm going to approach this as far as making picks go. But this idea that Kirk Ferentz and Iowa in general, that they don't care about this game, I think the people need to understand where Iowa's coming from or how they view this game, and that's the fact that the most important game on your schedule is the next one. And so the minute that this game is over, yeah, they don't really care about it anymore because it's in the rearview mirror and they're focused on North Texas, and then after that they're focused on the Big Ten. I don't think there's an Iowa fan out there that would trade a win over Iowa State for a win over Purdue in Big Ten play. That's a loser mentality there. Because you'd rather, I would think, win conference games than a non-conference game. And that's sort of how Iowa, it's a game. There are 12 of them on the schedule. But for fans, it's bigger than that. And they don't understand how you could possibly look through this in any other prism of other than this is the biggest game of the year. But for the players and the coaches in Iowa City, that's how they view it, how they choose to view it. And whether it's right or wrong, that's for you to have an opinion on. But they choose to approach this game from that angle. And it doesn't sit well with some people. Poll question, by the way, today, KGYMradio.com. Well, lo and behold, do Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes put enough emphasis on the Cy-Hawk game? Yes or no? Right now, No is winning the poll, which is sponsored by our friends at Emil's Hideaway. Great place to watch the Iowa-Iowa State game this weekend if you're not listening to it here on KGYM. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot.
I think a lot of times this becomes this well, Kirk is 9-9 or whatever his current record is against Iowa State. It becomes kind of an excuse as to why Iowa lost a game to Iowa State when they were favored. And I think it underscores the low margin of error that Iowa is going to have every year, no matter who they're playing. Because I think a lot of Iowa fans think that there's just this huge talent difference between what Iowa and Iowa State put on the field. And most of the time, there is the talent difference, just the football talent difference is minuscule. And Iowa, over the years under Kirk Ferentz, has done a phenomenal job in their better seasons of winning close games. And that's what good teams do. And Iowa State, like last year, found ways to lose close games. And that's really the only difference between the two programs right now. And that's why you see the record of 9-9 against Iowa State. So this idea that that Kirk doesn't take this game seriously seems to be somewhat of a, well, that's why he loses to Iowa State. Seems like an excuse to me.
That was a little bit of Mel Kuhn Jr. there. That sounded like a Mel Kuhn Jr. take. Now, the text line coming hot with the opinions today, 0024, love the Hawks, but how is Kirk 500 and Bob Stoops undefeated against Iowa State? The answer to that, and you're not going to like hearing it, is that Bob Stoops was the coach at Oklahoma.
That's correct.
And Oklahoma is a better program than Iowa or Iowa State. Better talent, better tradition, better history all across the board. And the talent gap between Oklahoma and Iowa State is wider, or was wider, now that Bob Stoops has retired and isn't in the picture anymore. Why? Bob Stoops is not germane to the conversation, by the way. He has nothing to do with this. It's like sometimes in this business, you feel like Phil Connors in Groundhog Day, and you're just waking up to Sonny and Cher over and over again. Oh boy, we got to go through the whole 1998 Bob Stoops, Kirk Ferentz fiasco again. I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell some people sometimes. 319-366-1600. Look at the text. The Jerry Ask Investment Services text line is just, it's a Christmas tree right now. Just lit up all over the place. We can't possibly get to all of these texts and not have time for Gary Reima at the bottom of the hour. Gary will stop by and talk Panther football. I want to know what he thinks about Iowa State, because he got an up-close look at them last weekend, the opener for both teams. Iowa State beating UNI Saturday night at Jack Trice Stadium, and Iowa earlier in the day getting by Wyoming. And, of course, Iowa didn't put up 40-some points in the opener. Iowa State did, and so that's leading to days of speculation now between Iowa State and Iowa fans about just how good both of these teams are. Nobody has an answer, and we won't until about 2:30 on Saturday afternoon. And we probably won't have an answer when everything is said and done until November, when the season is over, because there are a lot more games left to be played. Now, somebody on the text line was asking, what would you think about this game being played in week one of the season as the opener? Does that intrigue you? 319-366-1600. I don't think it would ever happen, coming right out of the gate and playing. Now, the game that I will always remember is the 2001 contest, which was supposed to be played the week of September 11th, and it was postponed, as was pretty much every college game that week, and they played it in November, the last game of the regular season, and that had a very unique feel to it. It was almost like a bowl game in November, and the Hawkeyes at that point were playing to improve their bowl status. They wound up going to the Alamo Bowl, their first bowl under Kirk Ferentz. That was amazing. But you're not going to play this series in November. It's always going to be in September. And with only three non-conference games for Iowa, this is week two, and this is another episode for another time, another discussion. The schedule matrix here is pretty clear for Iowa. Opening game, Iowa State, dog meat game, Big Ten play. And I don't think that they're going to deviate from that anytime soon, nor should they. 319-366-1600. Continue the discussion here. We will get to your texts eventually.
I kind of like it being played in the second week because I think that it's a cliche, but it's a true cliche that teams make their biggest improvement from week one to week two. So playing it in week one, I don't think that you would get either team's best shot. I don't think that Iowa played their best game in week one in their victory over Wyoming. Maybe defensively they did.
Stop. I hate to interrupt you. 41-13 on the text line. Soft opinions. Let's not forget some very good stretches of Iowa football in the 50s and 60s, including a shared national title in 1958, 80s and 90s. No one cares about what the Iowa football team did under Forrest Evashevsky. No offense. No one... You want to talk about Bob Stoops not being germane to the conversation. No one cares what happened in 1958. Kenny Plain and Randy Duncan. It's great. It's part of the history. It's part of the lore of the Iowa football program. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter. What happened in 19... Look, I grew up in the 80s. And the early 90s during that 15-game winning streak in this series where you just took it for granted that Iowa was going to kick Iowa State in the teeth every time they played. And I had that opinion as a freshman at the University of Iowa in the fall of 1998. And I have not held that opinion since because I watched Todd Bandauer and the Cyclones come into Kinnick Stadium and beat Iowa that day. And that is when my outlook on the series completely changed. So you want to talk about the 50s and the 60s, what happened in the 80s and the 90s doesn't matter in this series anymore. Just stop. Dr. Eddie Anderson and Niall Kinnick, and it doesn't resonate. It doesn't matter. You can be proud of your program's history, but... this Billy Sims barbecue is good, but it's got nothing on the 1958 Hawkeye. It's Oklahoma. It's one of the greatest college football programs in history. You're not getting this passion during North Texas week, though.
No, you are.
So if we could possibly bottle some of this and save it, put it in reserve. My mother-in-law has a canning shelf in her basement. Maybe we could put some of this off, save it for a rainy day, and then when some of the crappier Big Ten games come along, or next week's North Texas game, maybe we could get to this. Let's keep it here and send it over to Kyle. He has a chock full of information. Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
Pro Football Focus published Week 1's Big Ten Defensive Team of the Week, and the Hawkeyes' Josie Jewell, Bo Bauer, Josh Jackson, and Jake Gervais were all selected to the unit, giving them a league-high 4 selections, one more than Ohio State's 3. Bauer, Jewell, and Jackson were also selected to the National Defensive Team. The Hawkeyes also had one selection to the offense, that being receiver Nick Easley. For the Cyclones, running back David Montgomery made the cut for the Big 12 offense, while cornerback Brian Peavy was selected on the defense. The Gazette's Area Super 10 Volleyball Rankings were released today, and 9-0, Cedar Rapids Jefferson sits at number 1, with Xavier 2nd, Linmar 3rd, Iowa City West 7th, and Mount Vernon 9th. The Iowa Speedway released its 2018 schedule today, and while remaining largely similar to the past year, many fans will be happy to hear that after a one-year hiatus, races will return to the track on Father's Day weekend on June 16th and 17th. Postseason play begins for the Colonels tonight. They're hosting the Kane County Cougars in Game 1 of the best-of-3 Western Division Series. Both teams led the division with 39 wins in the first half, but the Colonels fell to 3rd and Kane County to 6th in the second half. Cedar Rapids will throw Tyler Wells out there for Game 1 to take on Mac Lemieux, and that's going to start at 6:35 right here in Cedar Rapids. The Twins played the finale of a 3-game series with the Rays this afternoon, winning that one 10-6. So with no baseball for you tonight, you can keep it here on KGYM after the show for ESPN programming.
Ryan and Walford on the text line, whoever brought that 1950s reference up sounds like a Nebraska fan basking in the glory of the 90s.
I wasn't going to say it, so thank you, Ryan, for saying it for me.
And there's no, I think we can all agree, Iowa State and Iowa fans, that there is no fan base more annoying and more baskful. Did I just make that word up? No fan base basks in its prior glory, past glories, like the Nebraska Cornhuskers do. And that's exactly what that sounds like. You're going to go some 16, 17-year-old kid, and you're going to, well, you got to go to Iowa, man. They shared a national championship in the 50s. It's like Minnesota talking about how great it was in the 40s.
Did they have face masks at that point?
It's 2017.
I don't think they did.
They still wore leather helmets, I think. Gary Rima is going to join us coming up. Meanwhile, you and I fans are just sitting back watching this going, hey, you can have the Cy-Hawk week. We got Cal Poly on the schedule.
The Mustangs.
The Mustangs. Triple option, right?
Triple option.
That's always fun. We talked about Georgia Tech yesterday after watching them play Tennessee on Monday. Gary coming up next. Don't forget, we've got your chance to get the lead out today as well. We'll tell you about that when we return.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The scheduled season opener in Miami between the Buccaneers and the Dolphins will be played on November 19th. That's in Week 11. The Dolphins have also canceled practices through Sunday with the approach of Hurricane Irma. In college football, the Arkansas State at Miami game scheduled for Saturday has been canceled. The game will not be rescheduled. Neither will the Houston-UT San Antonio game from last week. Florida State and Louisiana Monroe will play in Tallahassee Saturday, but the game will be played at noon instead of 7 p.m. Florida will host Northern Colorado. That game will kick off at noon instead of 7:30 p.m. The Cavaliers are now planning to move ahead with a $140 million renovation of Quicken Loans Arena. The team also plans to extend its lease in the building until 2034. Baseball finals today, first of two in Atlanta. The Rangers beat the Braves 12-8. The Reds over the Brewers 7-1 to sweep that series. The Twins beat the Rays 10-6. Yankees and Orioles in Baltimore tonight rained out.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
Selling your house in the past was kind of a pain. It had to be perfect, right? Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty is routinely selling homes that used to sit for months in just days. Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more, warts and all. The Cedar Rapids housing market is white hot, and right now, Pinnacle can get your price even if your home isn't perfect. Pinnacle can sell your home right now. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Time is wasting.
Friday afternoon at 3, tune into 106.3 FM for the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard. The gym will be coming to you live from West Branch before their matchup with Jessup. This is David Schulte, and I'll be your host alongside Gary Fickle. Count down to kickoff with us as we chat with coaches and athletes and get you ready for high school football action. The KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard, Friday afternoon at 3 on the gym.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Wake up, brush teeth, shower, get dressed, walk the dog, feed the kids, pack the lunches, forget the lunches, go back inside for the lunches, head out the door, go back for keys, lock the door, start the car, and sit in traffic. Mornings can be hectic. Let us take care of breakfast for you. Stop by and try the new hash brown scramble from Chick-fil-A. A hearty mix of sliced nuggets, crispy hash browns, and scrambled eggs, topped with cheese and a side of salsa and served in a burrito or a bowl. It's made fresh every morning and available until 10:30 a.m.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, can I still take advantage of today's low rates? Is it still a good time to refinance? The answer is yes. Now's a great time to call Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
4:35, welcome back. It is the Todd Bromwell Camp Show. Don't forget, we've got more opportunities for you to get the lead out next week at the Paramount Theater. Tickets on the way sometime between now and 7 o'clock tonight. Let's go ahead and bring him on. It is Wednesday, a tradition unlike any other. No, that's the Masters. But during football season, we always check in with the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, Gary Rima, joining us here on the Todd Bromwell Camp Show. All recovered from the week one trip to Ames. Hopefully things work out a little bit better this week for the Panthers. But Gary, what were your impressions of the Iowa State Cyclones last weekend?
Just about what I thought, guys. I really thought they were going to be a much better team than we played a year ago when we beat them 25-20, and I thought that played out. I thought with Jacob Park at quarterback, we knew that their wide receivers were big and very talented. Maybe, you know, we're going to face some really great wide receivers when we play South Dakota State with Jake Wynicke and their big NFL prospect tight end Dallas Goedert. But tell you what, Lazard and Butler are two really good wide receivers. And Montgomery at that running back spot, guy's a bull. He can really run. And I thought their offensive line, they had to feel like they played pretty well, too. He couldn't get a sack apart the whole game. So I just kind of what I was afraid of, that they were going to be a much better opponent than they were a year ago. And then, you know, we had some lapses. We had some costly penalties. The two pick six certainly hurt. But, I thought we saw some positives coming out of that loss, too. I think there's some things this Panther team can build on. I really think moving forward, we're going to be just fine.
Mark Farley actually brought that up during the week. There were a lot of positives to take out of that game, and he really doesn't like kind of polishing losses. He expects to win. But what were some of those positives that you saw on Saturday from that Panther team?
Really impressed with the defense the first half. I thought defensively, our D was keeping us in the game, and I just talked about the talented offensive unit that Iowa State puts on the field this year, and our defense. You take those two pick six out, at halftime, we're looking pretty good. So I was impressed with our defensive effort, even though we didn't get a sack. That's one thing that's got to improve. But Park was throwing a lot of underneath passes, a lot of short throws, you know, quick tosses. So it was really hard to get to him. So I'm not sure. You put a lot of fault on the defense for not getting a couple of sacks in that game. There's a couple of opportunities that we missed, but I'm really impressed with the defense. I think offensively we found a running back in Trevor Allen. That was a question mark for me going into the game, who was going to be our number one running back. They tried four different guys in fall camp, and even Coach Farley said that he wasn't sure because they really limited the amount of hitting that the defense was allowed to do against the running back. So he just wasn't sure how those running backs were going to react once it was live game and you know, were they going to get yards after contact and who was going to do the best job. And tell you what, Trevor Allen emerged, I think, as our number one running back, and I'm impressed with him. Take away the two pick six that Eli Dunn threw, and that opening drive, guys, was impressive. I think Eli's going to have a big season. Redshirt freshman Isaiah Weston looked good at that wide receiver spot. This team's really deep at the wideout spot, so I'm encouraged. I thought our offensive line was good. Couple of sacks, but I really didn't think that was all on the offensive line. So all in all, even like Coach Farley said, it's hard to find good sometimes because you lost, but it was one of those games where you left thinking, you know what, in a way it felt like we held our own pretty good with a improving Big 12 program, and now looking ahead to our 10 FCS games, we got a chance to be all right.
Gary Ryman joining us on Wednesday, the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers. You can hear him right here on 1600 AM KGYM's main gym frequency. Eli Dunn, a little bit of a mixed bag, 23 of 38, 259 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Your initial thoughts on Eli Dunn's first game this year as the starting quarterback?
I love what he did on that opening drive. I mean, he goes, I think it was 6 for 6 early on throwing the football and drove us right downfield, you know, an 8-play, 75-yard touchdown scoring drive, didn't get rattled, just was really, really impressive and kind of thought, wow, you know, here we go. And then on the next possession, he makes that bad decision on where he should have just thrown it away, throws the pick six. But I think Eli's just going to get better. That was only his fifth collegiate start. That's not a lot of games under your belt. His first start on the big stage in a Big 12 stadium with 61,000. I thought he held his own. The one thing I was impressed with, guys, is even after he threw that second pick six, the coaching staff stayed with the passing game. They continued to believe in him, and I thought he made some good throws, some good decisions. Eli's going to have a good season, and he has to if this Panther team at the end of the regular season wants to be into postseason play and accomplish what they want to accomplish. We need a big year out of Eli Dunn, and I think he'll get it done. I really do. He completed almost 61% of his passes. You want that to be up over 65%, but I think against our upcoming FCS opponents, you'll see those numbers rise a little bit on that pass percentage completion. I really think he's going to have a good year moving forward in that part of his throwing game.
So you and I goes from a team that spreads it out with big physical receivers in Iowa State to a team that runs the triple option. How big of a challenge is that for the Panthers?
Yeah, it's just totally different. This is what makes it tough is you got 1 week to prepare for a type of offense that you only see maybe once every other year, once every third or fourth year. We did play these guys 2 years ago out at their place, which I think helps a little bit that some of these guys face Joe Pro Throw and that triple option offense that Coach Walsh and Cal Poly Mustangs like to run. But guys, I really think the way our defense is geared up and our front seven looks, I think we'll be fine against that triple option. The thing is, we know what they're going to do. They're going to run the football. They played 2 games already, and they've completed 10 passes. I mean, they just don't throw the football much. So you know what it's going to be. You stay home. You do what you did against them a couple of years ago and play great defense. We'll be in a good spot come Saturday night to chalk up a W. But they're always a dangerous team, a scary team because of that offense they run that you rarely see. If you watch Georgia Tech, if you watch Navy, that's the offense that you and I is going to have to try and slow down this Saturday.
Gary Ryman, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, joining us. You had to say one thing UNI had to work on this week. What would you pick?
The one main thing I would say that we got to get better at is we do have to find a way to get more pressure on the quarterback, whether it's with blitzes, whether it's with the front four. You just, even though this weekend we're facing a team that rarely throws the football, moving forward after this Saturday's game, you know, we were one of the better FCS teams in the country the last few years in getting sacks and getting quarterback hurries, and just not seeing much of that on Saturday would be the only thing I would say that's the number one area we've got to get some improvement moving forward, because we're going to see some offenses like a South Dakota State and Southern Illinois and Western Illinois that can really throw the football. They'll sling it around, and if you let that quarterback sit back there all day, they're just going to pick you apart. So that's got to be, I think, one of the focal points this week and the next couple of weeks in practice.
Speaking of throwing the football around, you talked about Isaiah West and the redshirt freshman with a big game in week one against Iowa State. This receiving core is big and physical. How much of a strength of this team is this position group going to be moving forward for the Panthers?
Well, I think that's going to be a key to our success. You know, we're going to have to run the football some. Trevor Allen's got to continue to do what he did. Trevor Allen averaged over 7 yards a carry, which is really impressive. I don't know if he can keep that going, but we need that so that the passing game is there, because with the likes of Darius Fountain and Jalen James and Jalen Rima and Isaiah Weston, we have two good big tight ends that can catch the football. Yeah, I think the passing game is going to be our bread and butter offensively, guys. I was talking to someone earlier today, and they said, "Who's your marquee guy on offense? Your go-to guy on offense that you're going to have to go to in some of those crucial spots?" And you know, we really don't have just that one big gun. But I think our advantage is we got a handful of guys who really can come up with a big play. They can be the key guy that game. If they want to take a certain receiver or two out of the game, there's somebody that could step right in and be the next guy to get it done. So I just think we got a lot of weapons on offense. Eli Dunn completed passes to 9 different guys against a Big 12 defense. So that's going to be, I think, the plan moving forward, is that there's not going to just be one or two certain guys that you're gonna get the ball to. There's going to be a number of them that are going to be a big part of the offensive game plan, game in and game out.
Somebody is going to get their first win of the season this weekend. We hope it's you and I. Gary, we appreciate the time, and we will hear you Saturday on the Panther Radio Network. We'll touch base with you next Wednesday.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
How'd you like to get the lead out after listening to Gary Rima there? We've got tickets for the concert. This is the American Led Zeppelin. That's what they bill themselves at. 3 guitars on stage. It's next week at the Paramount Theater. Tickets are on sale right now, but we've got them for you. All you need to do is be caller number 6 to 319-366-1600. You're going to head to get the lead out next week at the Paramount Theater. And the good news is, if you don't win as caller number 6 right now, we got another pair of tickets during the 6 o'clock showdown for you tonight. So 2 chances to head to the Paramount next week. 319-366-1600. We'll find out who our caller is when we return after this. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show right here on 106.3 and 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, KGYM.
Wake up, brush teeth, shower, get dressed, walk the dog, feed the kids, pack the lunches, forget the lunches, go back inside for the lunches, head out the door, go back for keys, lock the door, start the car, and sit in traffic. Mornings can be hectic. Let us take care of breakfast for you. Stop by and try the new hash brown scramble from Chick-fil-A. A hearty mix of sliced nuggets, crispy hash browns, and scrambled eggs, topped with cheese and a side of salsa, and served in a burrito or a bowl. It's made fresh every morning and available until 10:30 a.m.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp-worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC, has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and equal housing lender.
4:50, welcome back in a Wednesday edition of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show. We're heading up toward hour number two here on the 6th of September. Midwest League playoffs getting underway tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium. We'll talk with Jeff Johnson, who covers the Colonels for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, coming up in just a little bit. I am filling out my picks for the, if you read the Cedar Rapids Gazette sports section on Saturdays, and you certainly should, it's fine paper. I have many friends who work there. You know that this is the second year in a row now where they have asked me to be a guest picker. And the three games this week, I hope I'm not spoiling anything here for the Gazette, but they're picking the Iowa-Iowa State game, and I'm working on trying to figure out who I want to predict will win the game, because I've said all along Iowa I thought was going to win the game, and now I do this all the time, a week one overreaction, and I don't know what direction to go in. Now, I'm not going to make the same mistake I did last year and give a game away on the Co-Cornell contest. Last year, I wanted to take a jab at Mark Dukes, so I picked Cornell to win, and we all know that ain't happening. And then the third game is Nebraska at Oregon. And
take Nebraska.
Nebraska, by the way, is...
Oregon's terrible.
Oregon, I think, is favored in that game. I got to double-check this. I thought I saw the... Yeah, Oregon is favored by 2 touchdowns in that game.
Two touchdowns.
Yeah, they're a 14-point favorite. You're saying take Nebraska?
Well, if you're going with the points, definitely.
The over-under in that game is 69.5 points. Nice.
That's too few points.
319-366-1600. If you missed out on your chance, Taylor and Iowa City are winner of the Get the Let Out tickets. You'll have another opportunity coming up for you in the 6 o'clock hour, 6:30 to be exact. That's going to be during the 6 o'clock showdown tonight. 7 questions in 60 seconds. We've got some great texts that came in while we were talking to Gary Rima, and I want to get to some of them. But Cyclone Tim never fails to disappoint. He has inundated the text line today, but I think he speaks for a lot of Iowa State fans when he reacts to hearing Iowa talk about how great the program was in the 1950s and 60s and how it deserves a place on the mantle with the college football greats. Cyclone Tim says, how would Hawkeye fans react to Iowa State fans talking about the glory of their Final Four team from 1944?
Can you remember where the first Heisman Trophy winner came from?
Jay Berwanger out of the University of Dubuque. Or University of Chicago. He's from Dubuque.
Yes.
Yes, native
Iowa. University of Chicago talks about that all the time. Well, man, our football program. First Heisman Trophy winner.
That was one
We're
of
better than Bama.
That was one of the first times that I ever got like a nasty, nasty feedback email from somebody when I was working at the Daily Iowan and I referenced Niall Kinnick as Iowa's only Heisman winner. And of course, I was talking about the University of Iowa, and somebody was just absolutely, it was like Jay Berwanger's great-granddaughter just sent me a nasty email. And I thought, okay, this is back. I mean, this is a long time ago. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because of another text that we received that is taking umbrage with the fact that we're talking about how things just generally don't matter anymore with what's happened in the past. It's 72-95. Will someone please remind everybody that in 2002, Iowa lost to Iowa State? Had they won that game, Iowa and Ohio State would have played for the national championship. If you don't think this game means something, you're crazy. Iowa could have been greatly relevant regardless had they lost to Ohio State in 2002, but that game never happened. That's 15 years ago, and it didn't happen. You can't sit here and tell... Who won the national championship 10 years ago?
So 2007, would that be the University of Texas?
Yeah, but you got to stop and think about it. And you're a college football savant. Yeah,
I could be wrong, too. Oh, no, Florida. Texas, Florida.
Here's my point, though.
Exactly.
15 years ago, I didn't have any gray hair. I was thinner. I had a lot less problems in my life. 15 years ago is an eternity. Okay? It's about 20% of...
It was Florida. Okay, your point was made.
It's about 20% of your life ago, if you live to be... I'm not going to give you living to be 100 or anything, but 15 years is a long time. And you can't point to that and be like, well, dude... And by the way, what was Miami's record that year when they played Ohio State?
In 2007?
No, in 2002.
Oh, in 2002. Were they under...
That was...
I think they had one loss.
Did they? Okay. It was Larry Coker at Miami and Jim Tressel at Ohio State, Maurice Claret, and I think everybody remembers how that played out.
Oh, no, they were undefeated.
I'm still not certain that Iowa plays Ohio State for the national championship that year. I get it. I get it. You're a Hawkeye fan, and the team was great that year, and they've had some very good years, and they're traditionally much better than Iowa State. You're sounding like a Nebraska fan. Please stop. Or remember that those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Let's send it over to Kyle. We'll get to the bottom of this. The 2002 season. Good God. It's an eternity ago. Time now for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Pro Football Focus published Week 1's Big Ten Defensive Team of the Week, and Hawkeyes Josie Jewell, Bo Bauer, Josh Jackson, and Jake Gervais were all selected to the unit, giving them a league-high 4 selections, one more than Ohio State's 3. Bauer, Jewell, and Jackson were all also selected to the National Defensive Team. The Hawkeyes also had one selection to the offense, that being receiver Nick Easley. For the Cyclones, running back David Montgomery made the cut for the Big 12 offense, while cornerback Brian Peavy was selected on the defense. The Gazette's Area Super 10 Volleyball Rankings were released today, and 9-0 Cedar Rapids Jefferson sits at number 1, with Xavier 2nd, Lindmar 3rd, Iowa City West 7th, and Mount Vernon 9th. The Iowa Speedway released its 2018 schedule today, and while remaining largely similar to the past year, many fans will be happy to hear that after a one-year hiatus, races will return to the track on Father's Day weekend on June 16th and 17th. Postseason play begins for the Colonels tonight. They're hosting the Kane County Cougars in Game 1 of the best-of-3 Western Division Series. Both teams led the division with 39 wins in the first half, but the Colonels fell to 3rd and Kane County to 6th in the second half. Cedar Rapids has thrown out Tyler Wells for Game 1 to take on Mack Lemieux. That's going to start at 6:35 right here in Cedar Rapids. After our show today, there's no Twins games. You can keep it here for some ESPN programming.
I have nothing at this point. I really don't. Hour number 1 is in the books. Hour number 2 is going to start. Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette will be with us as the Colonels in action tonight, Veterans Memorial Stadium, 6:35, first pitch, taking on Butch Hobson, and the Kane County Cougars. Will break it down with JJ next.
Look at your hands. What have they been doing lately? Being softly conditioned by life indoors? Or are they the restless instruments of change? At Valvoline, we believe in hands-on innovation.